For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, July the 1st, 1990. 4th of July camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Family camp meeting. Reggie Foreman is the teacher of the afternoon.
We'll turn the rest of the service this afternoon to Reggie Foreman from over Mississippi. He's in the trucking business as well as a ministering business. His first calling is to minister. The second calling at the present time is trucking. We hope and praying, we're praying that he'll get out of that if the Lord wills. But he's going to come and minister, conclude with a mass deliverance service. And Brother Foreman, come and understand we're going to have a special here before.
It's good to be with you. We're excited about what the Lord's doing.
I praise you, Jesus. I don't want you to be like, we was in Beaumont, Texas, Easter week. Every Easter week we're in Beaumont with Brother Clint Denon. I don't know if you know him or not, Brother Clint Denon. And he told a preacher friend of his was telling how dead his church was. And a preacher friend was from Texas also said that I was ministering and my deacon fell dead. So I ran back and called the funeral home, which was on the same block, and told them to come to the church. We had a death. And so the coroner and the funeral home came, he said. But the thing was that the preacher got delayed, and before he could get from his office to the congregation, they had hauled over half the congregation away. Before he could point and say, wait, this is the one that's dead. You know, the Bible says the dead praise not the Lord. So don't be dead on me. Praise the Lord. But I grew up in a Methodist church. And I respect the Methodists in many ways, and I love the Methodists, but I turned Baptist. You know, I don't have anything too much against any of them. I have something for all of them. It's Jesus. But I grew up in the Methodist church, and I grew up in that church not missing a service because my mother and daddy believed in going to church. Though they both were lost and got saved after I did, God used me to bring them in. But they made me go to church. You know, we went to church, you know, religious. But in 1965, I walked an aisle for the first time in 1965, a visiting evangelist spoke about Jesus Christ. That's the first time I ever heard the name Jesus mentioned in that church. I was convicted and I was preaching. I walked an aisle and knelt on my knees and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and write my name in heaven. And Jesus did that in 1965. Now, I was like a yo-yo. I don't know if y'all know what a yo-yo is or not, but you could get them back then for 10 cents, and that's all they was worth. They'd go down, and they'd stay down more than they'd go up. But it was red on one side and blue on the other. It was made out of wood. And I was like a yo-yo. I was down more than I was up. And I would just try to be the best I could, but the devil seemed to knock me down, pull me back. And I would, you might believe in backsliding or not, but I must do because I backslid. I slid way back. And I just... It was further back than I was front, but yet I was convicted and knew that I couldn't enjoy sin because God was there. I mean, I couldn't do whatever others did and enjoy it because God was there. I had that conviction. In 1971, I got hurt in playing football. On the football field, my head was jammed and my vertebrae opened up in my neck and my nerves went down in there and it closed back somehow or another. They said it was no cure. They gave me medicine and said I have to take it the rest of my life. A little while after that, I don't guess this had anything with it or not, but we had another minister at the Methodist, same Union Methodist Church, that preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I walked the aisle again and I punched my rededicator. You know, it's good to rededicate yourself, but one day your rededicating button might malfunction and you might not rededicate, so it's best not to backslide. So I punched my rededicating button and I dedicated myself back to the Lord, and I wanted to live for Jesus, and I really meant it.
1971, I would take medicine so I could just halfway see, and I could take a half a bottle of aspirins and not even phase a headache. I had to take the prescription they gave me, and somebody had to follow me around. That's how strong it had to be. But I wanted it for Jesus the best I could, and I was hanging on. I mean, I was not going to backslide. You know, I was hard-headed in that. I said, now, I'm not going to yield to sin. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to live for God. In 1972, one of the Methodist members invited me over to an Assembly of God church in another town. Said, there's a good revival going on. You ought to go visit. Well, I did, and she didn't go. But I went over there, and for the first time, I heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I heard that there was a baptism in the Holy Ghost, and Roy Stockstill was ministering in that Assembly of God church. It was so good that night, they didn't have service anymore. They shut the church down. Assembly of God says, you can't have church here anymore. We don't want nobody to have church here. But they had revival. I tell you, the devil got mad. And they took the church apart and hauled it away. Now, I can't understand all that, except it's the work of the devil. But, you know, in other words, Assembly of God didn't want a full gospel preacher, Roy Stockstill, in there preaching. They got mad and shut the doors. And they just did it. But I heard about the Holy Spirit, and I walked out of there. I didn't want Roy Stockstill to give it to me, or none of those people that was excited in there to give it to me. I walked into the ditch of the road there in Centerville, Mississippi, where that revival was going on, that meeting. And I stood in the ditch of that road, and I said, Lord, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me, I asked you to fill me with the Holy Spirit now. I didn't feel anything. I didn't get knocked down. Nothing happened. No lightning, nothing. You know, some people give their testimony, and lightning struck. Others, the hair stood straight up. My hair didn't stand up, I don't guess. At least it didn't feel like it. Nothing like that happened, but one syllable came to my mind. And of course, the devil said, you made that up. I said, Shunda. That's the only thing. I was waiting for the next word, and else came. So I said, well, maybe you're supposed to say that same word over and over. So I did. I just say Shunda over and over and over. That's all I got. But I was just in me. I'm a man that once I believe something, you can't change me. It's just the way I am. The devil has a hard time trying to convince me in some things. I mean, he finally gives up. He's a liar. And if I find the truth, you're not going to talk me out of it. And I just said, I'm going to believe that the Lord gave me that. So I said, I'll just pray and say Shunda from now on if I have to. But I'm going to do it by faith. Others at the same meeting up to that point, you know, had received the Holy Spirit more. They was talking about how many words they could speak. It almost reminds me of the people in Corinth. You know, they'd get up and speak many words, you know, and brag on it. Of course, a lot of them backslid and still backslid today. But I was faithful in that in my prayer closet, and I'd say Shunda. Hallelujah. You must know I'm not a Methodist or a Baptist anymore. Or an Assembly of God. Hallelujah. So I just would say Shunda, and in 1972, God called me to preach. I was in my daddy and mom's house and living with them, and I had the urge to go outside, and a voice just as loud as I ever heard and never heard it before that time said, Reggie, I want you to preach. And I argued and said, Lord, you know, I can't preach. I don't believe you want me to preach. You made a mistake. You know, really, I knew it was God, and I was talking with him. And then I kind of pushed it off, and then I had that feeling about 2 weeks later to go outside. Just get outside alone. You know, that feeling. This time I walked way off so nobody else would be sure and not hear that, because I knew what was going to happen. And the Lord said it again, Reggie, I've called you to preach. And we had a discussion about that, the Lord and I. I said, Lord, I don't see how. I don't see how that can be. Because, see, all the preachers I knew were dead and religious and just like a job. That's all it was to it. I mean, really, if you preached, when I went to church, you got to attend till 12, not 12. And that, you know, I've seen people hold the watches up. You know, time to quit. I didn't want none of that. But, you know, the Lord began to show me that I couldn't pattern myself after man. I had to look to him and look to Jesus. In 1972, I started college and found it at Summit, Mississippi, just out of Summit, Macomb, a church that was full gospel called Oakdale. Luther King was a pastor there. Not many people going there, but they were a full gospel church. In other words, they did believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They did believe that you could cast out demons. They believed the Word of God. After a few weeks, see, I always sit right here. This was my seat. Nobody got that seat. I always came early. That's just the way I was. I wanted to be on the front row. You know, I just wanted to be that way. This time, the whole row was filled up with missionaries. So I had to sit on the second row. And they was going to speak that night, I guess, best I can remember. But what I can remember, more than anything, they was discussing how beautiful the Cantonese language was. And they was saying, as they was thumbing through the Cantonese dictionary, different words, and then they thumbed through and said, but the most beautifulest of all the Cantonese language, the word, is shundai. And then they said, let us read the definition of shundai. She read it, and it said, oh, most precious, most holy, and most very high God. And I said, Lord, I say shundai from now on. I said, I will say it from now on. And I was just, that just encouraged me to know that just because you think you're just saying a gibber, that don't mean it's a gibber. I mean, it's a word like the handwriting on the wall. They thought it was five words, but it was several pages worth, wasn't it? I mean, it's God. It's the Holy Spirit. And see, I thought Cantonese would be in Canada. I didn't know it was China. You know, that's how much I knew. So God gave me the language of Cantonese. He's given you a language. I don't believe in teaching one another how to pray in a language. I believe God gives you that language. So I'm bringing you up to this, that God filled me with the Holy Ghost. God just blessed me, and He encouraged me, and I began to get more excited. And it took me several weeks, I'm honest to goodness, to telling you the truth, and God's my witness, before I realized that I did not have to buy any medicine or take any medicine, and I have not had since 1972 of June a headache since, like that. God, by His power, healed my neck, and I don't have to have that stuff anymore. No medicine, no medication, no headaches. I'm telling you, I'm blessed. And God did that, and God works miracles, and I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. At Southwest Junior College, you know, I would think, man, everybody needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody does. And everybody that of course, then I said, anybody that smokes this needs the demon of nicotine cast out. You know, I didn't have much wisdom. You know, or anybody that's living in adultery needed the spirit of adultery cast out. You know, it looked like people would want that, you know, but of course they didn't. You go tell them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll say, surely they want it. But they say, there's no Holy Ghost. You know, leave us alone. Kind of like the man that had the demon in the synagogue, and it manifested and then said, what? Leave us alone. You know, they want to be left alone, die in their traditions. That's all they want. I wanted people to have this. I wanted God to bless that full gospel church to be filled, because I wanted souls saved and people set free. We started having prayer meetings in room 234, in my room, in the dorm, right over the coach's room. And he knew what we was doing. But he would say, listen, try to be more easier, because you knocked the light out of my ceiling the night before. You know, it just can't stand what y'all doing in there. You get 30 or 40 people in a room supposed to hold 10. And then they get excited and praising God. You know, God inhabits praise. Well, we was having prayer meetings, and one night God visited us in that room, 234. God visited us, and there's a yellow light. And at that time, I know every hair on my body stood up. I shut my eyes as we was having that praise and worship to God. And this is what I saw. With my eyes closed, I saw a cross, bones, and a skull. A skull and crossbones, which is a symbol that we look at when you see poison, like battery acid or some kind of chemical. That same skull and crossbone come down from the sky as we was praising God and worshiping God, and a chain, a big chain, wrapped over that skull and forced it to the ground and held it there. We would come tired and begin to slack up on praise and worship. The chain would get slack, and that skull would float around. That skull and crossbone would float around. And then we begin to praise and worship God again. And worship God and praise Him. My roommate, Clay McClain, some of you know him. He says, I don't know, and I can't even quote Psalms 149, but let's read it together. And we read it together. And it talks about the honor that all the saints have is to bind the power of the evil one with chains that the evil one has bound them. And that night we begin to praise and worship God. And God's my witness. Some of you have heard part of this. Some of you ain't. But in 1972, 73, and 74, the whole basketball team at Southwest Junior College at Summit, Mississippi, gave their heart to Jesus, saved three of them. And there was a move of God. We begged God and say, oh God, we want souls saved. Oh God, we want people delivered. God wants people delivered more than we do. God wants people set free more than we do. God wants people saved than I do. What's the problem? I'll tell you what the problem is. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spirits of wickedness in high places. And if God's people will take the honor that they have in Psalms 149 and bind those powers of darkness with the chains that the darkness has bound the people, we can see revival. We can see the move of God. We can see the peace of God. We can see victory and joy. And people who did not want Jesus as their Savior will weep and say, I want to be born again. People who did not want the baptism of the Holy Ghost will begin to say, I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People who did not want to be freed and argue the point saying Christians cannot have demons will begin to say, I've got a problem. They won't call it a demon. I got a problem. I need to be set free. And you can pray, and that problem will leave them and won't bother them anymore, because they realize they had a problem and they can be freed of that problem. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ will set us free. After that vision, after that prayer meeting, after that encouragement, we saw much deliverance. We saw people burn things they took dope with. Some of the funniest looking characters I've ever seen. I mean, not the people, but the things they burn. See, I grew up way back in the country, you know, and I didn't know there was such equipment as that. They burn that thing up. They bring Ouija boards. Throw them in there and say, we won't use that. We build a bonfire, burn Ouija boards. Those things that talk, cry, spit fire at you. Like I've never seen. We learned to stand way back when you throw a Ouija board in. But those people, see, that was deliverance. And you read about in Acts how that they burnt $50,000 worth of pieces of silver worth of books and curious arts. People, that's telling you, that's a testimony when you clean your house out, clean your life up, and get rid of those things. You know, I'm telling you, we need to get rid of those problems. See, I learned. So I've been... God called me to preach in 1972, and one thing I learned is that sometimes you might have to call them problems. At least they sit there long enough to realize they got a problem. But if you say, I'm going to teach on demons tonight, the door starts going, poop, 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 poop. And next thing you know, the ones that's left are really those that didn't really have to be there because they've done been free of those problems. And the ones that went poop, poop, poop at the door are the very ones that need to stay there. Hallelujah. But we saw much, much deliverance in 1972, 73, and 74 on that college campus and at that church Oakdale. And then all of a sudden, I began to see something. And I could be talking to somebody, and directly this green-looking creature would be standing there. Of course, I said, well, Lord, you know, we've been up a lot praying, and I'm sleepy and tired. But the first thing that I thought that I needed to do was pray and fast. I said, I got to have an answer. Do I need to go? You know, they all told me, even my own family says, this will get to you. You know, you're gonna lose your mind, what little you got left. I said, they spoke a curse on me, and it's coming to pass. I'll be talking to somebody else. I mean, they would be a born-again believer who was filled with the Holy Ghost. And this green thing, different shape, different form, would stand between me and them in the image of them. And I'd say, Lord, what in the world? And I'd pray, and I was fasting, and a brother come in and said, God is dealing with me to tell you to do a study on discerning the spirits. And I said, appreciate that, brother. God answered the prayer, see. I looked the word discernment up, and it means to see. A lot of people say, I have discerning the spirits, and they don't have discerning the spirits. Discern really means to see. See the thing. And what God was doing was dropping the gift of discerning the spirits on me to show me that Christians could have problems. And what it would be the very preacher that would be preaching that night. I'd see that thing. Of course, I was beginning to feel holy till I get ready to shave, and I had to look, say, move that problem over so I could shave. And I think I'm doing pretty good. And I go to a mirror today and I say, oh, what is the name of that problem? What's your name? And I cast out hatred, jealousy, something. You know, it would be something that God would allow. But God had to do that to show me that don't matter how good of a Christian somebody is, they need to know that they can be free. And I really saw this in 72, 73, and 74. 1974, I started preaching pastoring in my own hometown. I argued with God over that. I said, a prophet's without honor in his hometown. But I misquoted that. It does not say hometown. It says your country. It don't even say town. Check it. Not now. And when you look at the left, you'll find out that it's no excuse. So I'm where I was born and raised. I'm preaching. I've been preaching there since November the 4th, 1974. And God was blessing a little, but something began to happen to me. Now, this is all going to make sense before it's over. If you can remember in 1974, the big thing was prosperity. I mean, if you was a full gospel preacher, or if you believed the Bible, you believed in prosperity. And you learned if you needed something, you needed practice, so you started off believing God for stocks. Then you could get that Cadillac and that Learjet. And you could, you know, just really have your big fat pocketbook. And if you give $1, you're going to get $100 back. You know, and read the scriptures on that. People wanted to hear that. They wanted to hear also, that same spirit wanted to hear that Jesus was going to come back any minute and take us out of here before times got hard. So they wanted to be rich without having a dedication to God. For themselves, a selfish benefit, using their what they called faith for their own selfish gain, not praying for souls, not giving to missions, and not doing what God wanted them to do. It was a thing that even the devil had got very much in the churches. And I'm telling you that we had your normal full gospel church. We had 80 or 90 people in Gloucester, where the First Baptist had 40. Now, that's good. You don't know where Gloucester is. Get your magnifying glass and get the map of Mississippi out and look strong and you'll find Gloucester. So when if you got 80 people, they had to come from somewhere else other than that home, that town. But I was telling the people what they wanted to hear. But yet I knew that God had called me into a ministry that nobody wanted to learn about, it seemed like. I knew something was wrong. And somehow the devil would cloud my mind where I would think about the good old days, but it was like the devil would say, now you've gone on into deeper and greater things now. You've moved on. And you see, the devil can really lie, even to preachers. He can really, really lie to them. What I had was a church full of Sunday morning Christians for 1 hour. They couldn't be a Christian no longer than 1 hour. And I was about the same way. Come to church for 1 hour, no dedication, no consecration, no fire, no excitement. Just come, listen to a good sermon, how you could be rich. Then you go home and fight with your wife. Because it ain't working. Go home and beat your children because you're under pressure. You heard something that won't work. You go to your job and it's a pressure and it's a burden and you're not a witness and you're just depressed. And I could see that. I could see we had Sunday show off. People looking for a rapture that wasn't coming. People that wanted prosperity that wasn't even in God's word. What was wrong? Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 tells you what was wrong with Trinity Church in Gloucester. I know of no other church was this away. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. I gave you part of my testimony to lead you up to this. The message that I'm going to give you for a few minutes. I've never kept people past supper. Of course, the Lord might do it tonight. But the message that I'm going to share is that I was a pastor from 1974 to 1982. How many years is that? 8. For some reason, every eight years, something happens to me. It's either good or bad. Most of the time, it's good. I think it's bad when you preach somewhere for 8 years and then you lose your entire congregation and have to start over. But it ends up to be good. What was wrong? I was bewitched. Galatians 3:1. Now, the message this afternoon is to all you pastors here, you preachers here, and you say, well, I'm not a preacher. You are. You know what preach means? To tell your experience. So if you have an experience, you are a preacher. You might not be a pastor. You might not be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, or a teacher, but you are a preacher. Because when they was persecuted, everyone went everywhere preaching the word of God. So you do tell your experience. Amen.
Somebody, turn that knob over there, brother. They don't want to sleep again. Galatians 3:1. I believe this has been left. Here it is. I start to say it's left out of this Bible. It says, oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey what? The truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. See, God began to deal with me that I was bewitched. He began to show me in 1982 I was bewitched, and I asked forgiveness, and I began then to preach the Word of God like I did even 10 years ago. When you got a church full of people who don't believe they can have problems, and then the first message that you preach after God finally lets go of you, it's kind of like Jacob, you know, he grabbed a hold to me. I said, God, if you'll let go of me, I'm going to preach like you want me to. And the first message that I preached was entitled Jezebel. Jezebel manifested in a shrill, swell, loud voice through a skinny little person and said, and after all, Jezebel does not have to be a woman. Jezebel is a spirit to control. Jezebel screamed out and said, we want you to preach like you used to. And it was kind of like, leave us alone. I've learned through that. If it happens again, I know a little bit more how to handle it. You know, when God finally lets go of you, if you're not careful, you get in the flesh and you'll say, shut up. I'm right and you're wrong. Of course, with that spirit, it's kind of like James and John. Lord, you want to call a fire from heaven? I said, Lord, burn her. That created more problems. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey what? The truth. What makes you free? The truth. And when we don't obey the truth, we bind ourselves. We are in bondage if we don't obey the truth. And there it was for 8 years. I ministered everything but the truth. Something that people wanted to hear, something that got a crowd, something that caused people to reach down in their pocketbook and give a little bit, which is a very high form of witchcraft when a preacher gets up there and says, if you'll give $10 and go home, check your mail, you'll have $1,000 in there. And let me tell you, lots of times they will, but it's not God that did it. Because when God told James and John, they said, Lord, can we call fire from heaven? He didn't say they couldn't. He says, you won't know what matter of spirit it'll come in. So you see, there's the devil, and there's God. And there's the devil controlling the church more so than God when you don't obey the truth. I'm telling you that most of your ministers, not all of them, but most of them, are very much under the thumb of the devil this day. Telling and doing exactly what the devil says, that Antichrist spirit is working miracles. That Antichrist spirit today is causing people to think they're getting a touch from God. That Antichrist spirit is today making people think they are filled with the Holy Spirit when it's everything but holy. I'm telling you, we need to come to Jesus this afternoon and let Jesus Christ make us free. Said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? I got my dictionary out. Bewitch means, now listen to the definition. And a lot of people say, what Bible do you use? King James. Of course, my brother said, sometimes it's not real good, but it is what I got today. Not misplaying. What notes do you use? Bill's dollar store, 49 cents. Our price. I use the Webster's Dictionary. It means to influence. Bewitch means to influence or affect. Influence or affect. Now, if you've got a church full of people that influences you to tell them certain things, what is that? Witchcraft. When you got a church full of people that says, if you don't preach what we want, we're not going to pay you. I said, I'm going to preach what God wants. So therefore, if you're getting a salary and all the people say they're not going to give, you make a mistake and get a trucking company and keep preaching. I don't know that it was a mistake or not, which it was God's will. They can pay or not pay, but they hear the truth. Now, I don't have to have that trucking company. Oh, I still got it. Just pray God work that out in time to come. Bewitch means to influence or affect. A, this is Webster, a type of witchcraft. To cast a spell over someone. To attract someone to something. A power that is witchcraft. To pull like a magnet. Webster's Dictionary. Who has bewitched you? Who cast that spell over you? Who controls you? Who bound you? Who did that to you? Who did it? I was controlled by people. As a pastor, I didn't want to hurt anybody. I wanted everybody to be happy. And the next thing you know, you got anything and everything in the church. Kind of like Constantine. You know, he said, I'll just make the church and state one. There'd be no-no's. And everything goes. Everything from beer to blue jeans. Now take that like you want. It don't matter, you know. If he can wear blue jeans to church, I can go to church with beer on my breath. It's a lack of conviction. See, it's not knowing the truth. So you need to know Jesus Christ. So it says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? There is a curse if we don't obey the word of God. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 28. And this is really my testimony, if you can get it. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 28. Hallelujah. Everybody still awake? We bind the spirit of siesta. Deuteronomy 11, 28. It says, and a curse if ye will not do what? Obey the what? Commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the who's the way? Jesus is the way, isn't he? Which I command you this day to go after other, what? Gods, which you have not known. You know what that tells me? That I will have a curse placed upon me if I don't obey the word. When I don't obey the word, I've gotten out of the way. If anybody tries to go in any other way other than the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, is a thief and a robber. And the devil's a thief and a robber. So it's demonic. If I try any other way than God's way, I'm rebellious and I'm using witchcraft. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is idolatry. The Bible teaches us that from Samuel. So it says, a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods. So you, if you don't follow God, you're following a demon. You're following a problem. You are following a problem, and a problem will lead you to destruction. That demonic spirit will lead you further and further into error until you will hear the truth and not want a thing to do with it. You will hear the truth, and you would rather be somewhere else. You'd have finally become that demonic. Look at let's just look at verse 13 of Deuteronomy 28. We're going to do a little study on this curse, witchcraft, for a few minutes. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Now in those prosperity messages, boy, we really sang that, didn't we? I'm the head, not the tail, above, not my knee. Boy, we'd get excited about that. We wouldn't read it all, though, would we? And the Lord shall make thee the head, not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. But for some reason, we never sang that word if. If. If that thou hearken unto the what? Commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to what? Do them. You know, faith without works is dead. So I will be the head, not the tail, if I hearken to the word of God and do the word of God. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words, which is the way. Jesus says, I'm the word became flesh. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Again, I did a study. If you turn from the word, you turn toward demonic powers. You're either following God or Father in darkness. You're either walking with God or walking with darkness. You're walking with the devil and all his demons, or either God and the power of heaven. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all, which I circle all, not just part of them, not just what you like, but all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these, what? Curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Boy, people don't want to hear that. Boy, I'm a Christian. God won't curse me. I can live like I want to and make it to heaven. As long as I just say the right thing, do the right thing, and pay my respect, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to make it. And they wonder why their children are on drugs. They're wondering why their marriage is falling apart. The 70 curses list and tell you why. One of them tells you, because you didn't hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, your children went after strange gods. The same word as sorcery. They went after sorcery. They went after drugs. Because you did not hearken and listen and follow the way of the Lord, your wife laid with another man. It says that. Adultery. A curse. Fornication. Same with the men. Same with the women. It's 70 of them there. Tells exactly what happens if we don't follow the Lord. Let's look at it. Look at verse 16. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. So it'll get us either way. Some's in the city. Some's in the field. Cursed shall be the basket in thy store in verse 17. Verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. Somebody says, well, I'm sick and I just can't get well. I done said all the good things. I've been anointed with oil. I'm telling you what, we better check out the situation. Ask God to forgive us for not walking in His way and keeping all His word. And let's break that curse off of our body this afternoon. If you've got a spirit of infirmity, I'm telling you tonight, if we break the reason for that spirit to stay there, it can't stay there. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced that a devil will stay where he's welcome. But I'm also convinced that if we clear the underbrush and will not give him a reason to stay there, he will leave with ease. I try to tell my children, please don't feed the stray dogs. And they sneak it out there anyway. Feed them a little bit. You feed them one day, they're going to be there the next day. But when pops make sure they understand to not feed them and the food's cut off, the stray dogs leave. But as long as you are giving something a reason to stay there, it's going to stay. These brothers here, those brothers back there, and this whole campground can pray and go without food and sleep, and we'll do you more harm than good. Because when we cast it out, today, tomorrow, 7 more is coming back. I'm telling you that we don't need to be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. But we need to know the truth this afternoon. Why is this there? And you'll say, well, can you give me something to go on? Well, I believe that we need. I like what the school teacher taught us. She might be into the siesta, huh? But she taught us this morning that you need to repent every day. And I've got just enough of what have you in me to make sure that I spend time with God and make sure my heart's right. I think every day we need to examine our heart, examine our faith, to see if we're walking with God, making sure that we do not have unforgiveness toward anybody. I believe the number one reason that the children of God are cursed this afternoon is because they have bitterness and unforgiveness in their hearts. They have grudges, they have bitterness, and as I talked to them, and they would say, oh, I got saved before I had that situation to go on. But yet, deep inside, they still don't want to be around the man or the woman. We need to learn to do what God says and forgive and clean the underbrush. I believe that a demon has the right to stay as long as you got unforgiveness in your heart. Yeah. I believe the first thing we need to do is to get right with God, because God says, if you don't forgive, neither can I forgive you. And if you don't forgive, I will deliver you to the tormentors, and that means to the afflictors. You will be afflicted with a spirit of affliction if you don't forgive. And that's right after the Lord's model prayer that He teaches that. I believe we got to forgive, and that's the first thing you do to get deliverance, is forgive all who have hurt you. Everybody. Living or dead. I always cover it all. Some people argue, I don't believe that you could have to fool with the sins of the fathers. If you don't believe you don't have to fool with the sins of the fathers, throw away Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and even throw away the rest of the Old Testament. Matthew is Old Testament. Mark is Old Testament. Luke is Old Testament. John is Old Testament. Acts chapter 1 is Old Testament. New Testament didn't start to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. That's when it started. Yeah. If you don't believe in the sins of the fathers, why do you, when you get saved, say, Lord, forgive me for sins that Adam and Eve committed? They are our forefathers. They are before us. And a doctor will say, brother, you inherited that disease. That's all right. But don't let a preacher say that I'm inherited a curse. You know, that's good words. Kind of like the problem. So we need to forgive our forefathers. I didn't eat sour grapes, but my teeth got cavities. Why? Your forefathers ate sour grapes, friend. They own age. We pining away in the desert because of the forefathers. We wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Why, Lord? The forefathers. The children wandered and suffered, the Bible says, because of the sins of the fathers. So we need to forgive all our forefathers for anything they've done to curse our bloodline. Well, what did they do? Well, I believe if your forefather drank any alcohol, he's cursed, because one of the seventy curses is. Another one is, if he ever sold alcohol, there's a curse upon that family. I do a teaching on the Kennedy curse. The reason the Kennedys have so much trouble, because they made their first million selling Scotch whiskey. That's the reason every one of them has either been murdered or died a strange death or cannot be found today. It's a Kennedy curse. We need to break those curses. See, demons look for a reason to stay. And they hang on to it. And they follow that reason, that bloodline. I can stay here because that forefather did such and such. I mean, one of the 70 curses is insanity comes from bestiality. And you'll say, well, I never laid with a beast. And my wife's never laid with a beast. And my children's never laid with a beast. Well, how do you know some 440 years ago somebody didn't lay with a beast? There is a guaranteed curse of insanity on the bloodline of anybody who touched a beast. One of the curses is that. You're not going to read them all. You won't get to supper. I'm just going to let you know a little bit, and then the brother's going to let me preach. I'm just sharing that now. He's going to let me preach one day. But there are curses that visit the bloodline. So what am I saying? What are you doing? Make sure you forgive everybody, living and dead. Forgive your forefathers. Just like my wife and I, when we first got in deliverance, bless her heart, she got blamed for a lot of things. Because right after we got married, I get into deliverance. And a lot of people say, she's writing your sermons. We don't want to hear from her, we want to hear from you. And Dr. Max Stewart from Baton Rouge, I don't know if any of you are from that area, but if you are, you know Dr. Max Stewart. Up high in the Baptist, Southern Baptist Church, and then he got filled with the Holy Ghost and said, no, I won't be president of the Southern Baptist Convention in this state. Because I believe in the fullness of the Lord. He sent word and said, Sister Pat, write me a few sermons. They'd sure do work good. So if you need a sermon, she'll write it for you, according to a bunch of people in Gloucester. She can do pretty good. That's funny how people think that. There's imagination in it. So you make sure that you break every curse. Do a study. I mean, just go down it and forgive the forefathers. You say, well, that's confusion. That makes it hard. No. No, we make it hard. A child, I can tell a child to forgive everybody and he'll do it. I can tell a grown-up and they'll argue. I'll say, hey, God's showing me that you need to break the curse of alcohol off your family. Nobody's drank alcohol in my family. You know, people is clumsy. I mean, you don't have to figure that. One of the curses is you're clumsy if somebody drinks alcohol. So if you got a clumsy somebody or somebody that can't control themselves very good or dyslexy, break the curse of alcohol off of them. And they argue with you. A little person will receive it, but they argue. I mean, all you do is read the curses and just know what's going on. And you can do that. So I believe there's an answer for every problem that we have. And Jesus is that answer. Jesus is the Word. And so we just study it and take it and walk with it. Praise God. So you forgive and you break curses. That will clear the reason for the demons to stay. See, as long as I'm feeding a demon, he's going to stay there. Somebody says, hey, Brother Reggie, I got a spirit of gluttony. Will you pray for me? Yes. I'll pray for you. We pray together. Then they stop by McDonald's and order 12 Big Macs. So you have some crucifying we got to do too. Do you understand? You can't crucify a demon and you can't cast flesh out. I teach the people that the first thing they need to do is to forgive everybody, break curses, and do what Jesus said. Take up the cross, nail that flesh to the cross. So that's what we need to do. Somebody said, well, I don't know if it's a flesh or a demon. We'll start nailing. And if it nails, it's flesh. If it won't be still long enough to nail it, let's get it out and then get hold of the flesh. But honestly, I believe if you take the good of every church denomination today, if you could take the good out of every one of them, you would have a balanced teaching. Because there are some that do not at all believe a Christian can be tormented with a demon. But yet that same one will believe in nailing the flesh to the cross. And then there's others that believe there are demons, but they don't even know what a hammer and a spike look like. Don't even know what the cross is all about. So we need balance in everything. So let's balance ourselves out. Amen. Praise God. Look at verse 32. I mean, there's so many, but I just wanted to point something out. You know, like a lot of rebellion with the young people. Deuteronomy 28:32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. And do a study on that, where he's talking about another people. And thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hand. That's something. So, you know, it's a reason. And we, you know, the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We're learning really how to pray. There is an answer. Lord, teach us to pray. See, the disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us to cast out the demons. He told them to do that first. He says, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They cast out demons. That's the first thing you do anyway. So he commanded them to do that first. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They want to know how to pray so they could get it done. I mean, just like the spirit of unbelief kept that lunatic from getting set free. Lord, teach us to pray. We learn it. Jesus is the Word. But look at verse 45 of Deuteronomy 28. We're just touching some of it. 45, 46, and 47. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, shall pursue thee, overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he command thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and a wonder upon thy, what? Seed forever. So those curses are a sign and wonder. People, I'm telling you, they are under curses so that somebody will look and say, because of disobedience and rebellion in the bloodline. So you break that and you can be free. Look on, look at verse 47. Because thou sayest not, servest not. Thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. So if you don't serve the Lord with all abundance of heart, I mean, it's dangerous, according to verse 47. Skip over to verse 61. Also every what? Sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. I found that in the ministry, that when somebody comes to us that has cancer, we don't come at the spirit of cancer. Cancer is no more than the spirit of a cold or a toothache. We don't worry about that. What we want to know is, why is cancer there? It's only there for several reasons. Either that person inherited it, and I did a study on cancer to find out. Even medical proves that when somebody carries bitterness on the inside of them, their body produces a secretion which will cause cancer or arthritis. See, Jesus came to make us free. God made our bodies not to carry hatred. Adam and Eve never were created to hate, to have bitterness. Who has cancer? I tell you who has cancer. The most sweetest, most loving person who never says a word is the one who has cancer. They hold it on the inside. And they get hurt by their children. They say, that's all right. They didn't mean to. They get hurt by the preacher. That's all right. The Charisma magazine, my wife showed me, amazed me, of how many preachers died of cancer. It had a list of all the preachers that died that year. I think two pages of them, wasn't it? And all but like three of them died with cancer. If you'll notice, most preachers that die before their time die with cancer. Why? Because a preacher is hurt more than most anybody. They hold things on the inside. They love their flock. They get hurt. They get hurt by people on the outside. A person who blows his stack and says, "Ah!" could never have cancer. Gets it all out. But somebody that just holds on the inside has it. Somebody that has cancer, they're not a sinner. They either inherited it from their forefathers that kept things on the inside and it stayed in the bloodline. The demon said, "We got a right to keep her or keep him bound with cancer." Or either they themselves were hurt and have unforgiveness and bitterness on the inside of them. We've experienced it. We've seen people with lumps that were cancer leave instantly, not the next day, right the moment that they forgave, and we never called the name cancer out. We've seen a lady who had to go to the insane asylum, who lost and just it got so emotional to her that she couldn't even function. We saw her in a matter of days after we prayed, able to drive even a car and go buy a microwave and cook her first meal. Because she forgave the man who hurt her, who was a boss, who owned the Dodge place in Natchez, Mississippi. I'm telling you, let's forgive. Yes. Let's make sure we don't give the devil a right to stay. And when we have mass deliverance in a few minutes, what we're going to do, we're going to say, "God, show us if we have any unforgiveness toward anyone." We're going to examine our heart. We're going to make sure that we forgave all that's living or dead. Do you have to forgive them? Like I told my wife, let's do it. If it works, good. If it don't, we ain't lost nothing but a prayer and it ain't lost. So, you know, I always like to go ahead and do more. You know, when you're mowing the grass, if you don't know where the line is, you always mow a little further over. Might be on your neighbor's, but you want your yard to look good. So it don't hurt to get over a little bit. You know, go a little further. Cut the grass a little more. Get those weeds out of your life. Make sure that, you know, it's no reason to stay. But God, when He convicted me that I was bewitched, I had to repent of that. But then the people that come against me, it really hurt me. Because after you work hard, pray and fast and do the best you can, best you think you know how, for 8 long years to get something going, and in a matter of one sermon, it's destroyed. You can have bitterness. You can let flesh get in the way. We had some strange things happen. Demons began to manifest in our house, take the curtains off the wall. There was no pond at that time, which we dug a pond on a place, but that time there was no pond close by. And if you know, a water moccasin usually lives in a pond, not on your front porch when there's no pond anywhere by. I had to take my gun and blow one of them away. Funny-looking creatures look prehistoric would manifest in the yard. It was people who really come against us, and we didn't know how to handle it. And they had a right. Those demons had a right to attack us. I mean, try to drown us in the bathtub, try to choke us, try to kill us in wrecks or anything else, until we learn that we need to forgive and make sure they don't have a right. Once you forgive, then you become kind of like John Wesley. So John Wesley walked in forgiveness and he preached the word of God. And one night there was a noise in his room and he looked over to see the devil. And John Wesley says, "Oh, I thought it was somebody." He rolled back over and went to sleep. You know, there's a balance. Some people ignore the devil and the devil's all around them. And others know that the devil's trying to stop them, but they ain't got a legal right. I want you to know tonight, you don't have to be afraid of the devil. The devil's afraid of you. And the demons will be gladly to leave when you give them a reason to leave. Greater is Jesus that's in you than the devil that's in the world. I am a deliverance minister. God's called me into that. I wonder why, but it's the Bible. I wish that it could be anything most other. You know, at least you could have 1,000 in church instead of just a few. But God knows what's what. But what I teach the people is when you take one look at the devil, take 10 looks to Jesus. You know, not, You know, don't worry. Just know that Jesus is Lord. Boy, people getting deliverance, boy, they can wake you up all during the night. Hey, there's a demon in my room. Well, why is he in there? I mean, why is he there? God, show him why he's there. You know, they're going to be around. A few of them probably done run out of this building. When the colonel ministered this morning like he did, a few of them's not here this evening. Or drove away. Let's not get into that. But you don't have to be afraid of what I'm telling you. You got power over it. And I believe if you don't give the thing a reason, that's what gets people confused, boy. They say, all you want to do is chase demons. Chase demons. All you want to talk about is demons. No. We just want the people to be free. And Jesus told them the first thing to do in Mark chapter 16 is to cast out demons. Then you can lay hands on the sick. Then you do the others. I believe if you get the spirit of infirmity out, the body will heal itself. We lay hands on people, they're sick, we anoint them with oil, and we just pray God to heal them, and the spirit of healing comes on, they're healed, and then a few days later, they're sick again. Why? We never got the infirmity out. If you get a splinter in your finger, put methylate on it, and a Band-Aid on it, it's not going to get well until you get the splinter out. So let's get the reason of the sickness out this afternoon. Let's get it out. Let's confess unto God. You know, the Bible says if you confess your faults one to another, you are healed, and that's deliverance. You know, I forgive my forefathers. I ask forgiveness for myself. That's confessing faults. So that's when you're healed. Amen. When I preached deliverance, the devil got mad like I told you. Three people came into my office one morning at the church as this was going on in 1982. People that I love so much, they really helped get the church going and what have you. They came and says, we don't want you to preach anymore. We don't need you anymore. We don't want to hear that anymore. Of course, I said, people come, people go, but preacher stays. So they went. But when they walked out of my office, I fell on my face and cried the hardest, biggest tears I ever cried in my life. And I said, Lord, I will always be a Christian. I will always follow you, but I'll never preach again. I said, Lord, just let me get a job and work in a church in this town. Let me be a witness. Let me help. Let me help that preacher and encourage him. And if I need money, let me take a shovel and clean out sewage ditches. I said that. When the voice of the Lord came to me and said, that's your calling. My word is the shovel. My people are full of sewage. And it needs to be dug out. They need to be set free. So that's what God's called me in, is to set the people free. Get the sewage out. My little bitty girl Crystal made a funny and said, is suicide? There's a lot of people filled with suicide. And we need to get it out. And it's called bitterness, hurt, anger, lust, pride, ego, vanity. I mean, just call it out. You know, the Holy Spirit is, he brings something to your mind. Somebody says, I've got a problem with temper. Let's call it temper. Say, I forgive my forefathers for having temper. And God, I ask you to forgive me. I break that curse off of me. I want to never yield my flesh again to temper. Spirit of temper, you leave me. So you do that this afternoon. Can you do that? And I know none of you. I use temper because I know nobody has that problem. But that's the way we're going to do it. Praise God. Amen. So we need to be free. Somebody says, well, I don't understand. If I'm saved, how can a demon possess me? See, when you're saved, what got saved? Your spirit got saved. All right? What about your mind, will, and emotions? That's your soul. Did it get saved? If it did, it would never have a bad thought, would it? It would be perfect. What about your body? If it got saved, it never would get sick again. So you see, your spirit is what the devil can't touch. So can a Christian be possessed if a Christian is loving the Lord and something goes wrong And all of a sudden he gets angry, and then we call it loses his temper, but a spirit of temper possesses him. At that moment, he is possessed. And he needs to be free. See, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to hide, camouflage himself, so he can hurt your witness. He's done that to a lot of our brothers, a lot of our friends. The devil has camouflaged himself and absolutely possessed them. See, the demons lying dormant. They might not do a thing. But yet, one demon in a man can talk to a woman 1,000 miles away in that same kindred and put that man and that woman together before that day's gone. Demons do that. Anything he can do to destroy witness, demons can do it. But this afternoon, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater. Demons can't touch your spirit, but they can influence you. They can live, as Romans chapter 7 teaches us, in your flesh. Paul says, who's going to deliver me? The things I want to do, I don't. Things I shouldn't, I do. He needed deliverance himself. And he walked in deliverance. Let's stand up. Praise God. Most everybody stood up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll lead you in a simple prayer. I don't know if any of y'all, most of you have been in mass deliverance services, and you know. If you haven't, all we do, you do most of the praying, but I'll lead you in a prayer to get you started. And then the Holy Spirit, we want to invite Him to convict you and point out something in your life that you need to work on. And maybe you need to forgive somebody, or maybe you need to break a curse off of your life. Maybe you see you've got a continuous problem. Maybe you need to break that curse and repent of that problem and command that spirit to leave you. And what's so good about a mass deliverance is that as you pray, they don't know if you're praying for yourself or the person next to you. So it's a good time. But every one of us, if we'll be honest, we need help somewhere in our life. I need help. I got a ways to go. I'm not perfect. I need to be set free. And I'm being set free. I'm freer today than I was a week ago. God's really blessed. The demon manifested in 1985. No, it was in 86. The demon manifested. And I commanded it to loose my household. And that demon began to talk and says that he was loose. Now listen what he said. You can't believe everything a demon says, but sometimes when the Spirit of the Lord gets a hold of them, they tell maybe when they shouldn't tell something. That demon says this. He said, I was loosed out of the heart of the earth. My chains were taken off of me for me to come out in December of 1985. My assignment, along with millions of others, is to separate every Christian husband and wife. And it said that it was let out in December of 1985. And I faced it January of 1986 and commanded it out of my house. If you have marriage problems, command that spirit of divorce and separation that's assigned only to Christian families to loose your family. So there's some things for you to go over. Let's pray. Say, Father,
I confess.
Jesus is my Lord.
He's my
Savior. Jesus is my deliverer.
I call on the name of Jesus
to make me free.
I repent.
I renounce.
All sin.
I forgive.
My forefathers.
For all their sins.
I forgive them.
All the way to Adam and Eve.
I break curses.
Hexes.
Vexes.
And jinxes.
Off of my life.
Forgive me, Lord.
For being controlled.
I command the Spirit.
of bewitchment to loose me and my household. I command the powers of darkness to leave me now. I forgive all who have hurt me, living or dead. I forgive them. Father, forgive me as I forgive them. I call on the name of Jesus and the power of his name to set me free. I renounce every power of darkness in Jesus' name.
Now, as you keep your mind on the Lord and as we worship the Lord, as God deals with you, maybe a person's name or an episode will come to your mind. You forgive that person. Call them out between you and God. Say, I forgive, and call the person's name. And say, I let them go. Father, forgive me. And then if the Lord puts your finger on something you've done in the past, bring that before God. You'll say, well, that's teaching condemnation. No, there are things that I found that sometimes it's more than one demon. It could be legions of demons that came in from a sin that you committed, and maybe you've been set free of some, and God's dealing with you. We're not bringing condemnation on you. There's no condemnation to them there in Christ. We're just bringing to you this afternoon that you can confess that before God, not me or the person next to you, but before God. Repent of that sin and cleanse that. If the devil keeps coming back and lying to you, renounce him in Jesus' name and command that condemnation to leave you. But you just know that Jesus forgives and he forgets, but there are scars and darknesses that need to come out of our life. Demonic powers that need to go. So you keep your mind on the Lord and I take authority. In Jesus' name, I command every spirit of rejection, bitterness, and hurt to loose the people of God this afternoon. I come against that spirit of insanity, that spirit that came in through bestiality, that spirit that came in through incest. I break that curse and I command the people of God to be free tonight. I command the people of God to be freed of every spirit of insanity and lunatic. Come on out, all your mental problems. Come on out, all spirits of insanity in Jesus' name. Praise God. You know, even the doctors, if there was a doctor here this afternoon, he'd tell you that everybody is touched with insanity. There's not a human alive that is not touched with insanity. There is a spirit of insanity. There is a curse of insanity. We don't have to be insane. Praise God. In fact, anger is a manifestation of insanity. So, you know, everybody, so you're not so holy after all. In Jesus' name, we command all insanity to loose us and let us go. We renounce anger, temper. Lord, forgive us. And we command that to loose us in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you this afternoon to set us free. I bind you, Satan. I bind all powers of darkness. I bind every spirit of principality, power, rulers of darkness over hot springs. I bind you right now, and I command the peace of God to flow. I command the people of God free. I take authority. I command the spirits to go in Jesus' name. Renounce them. Breathe out. It don't matter if you take a deep breath, let them go. It don't matter if you cry, let them go. No matter if they want to scream, let them go. You just take a breath and say, I renounce you. And by faith, I command you to leave. I won't feed that spirit anymore. I won't feed that lust anymore. Come on out of there, spirit of lust. Take a breath and let it go. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you. Command you to come out. All lust, pride, ego, vanity. We command the people of God free. We command the people of God free. We command the people of God free. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command the people of God free. We call on the name of the Lord. We ask you, Lord, to set us free. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there, all spirits of insanity. Come on out. Come on out of there. Command the spirits of sorcery, drugs, curse of drugs. Come on out. Come on out of there. Curses of inferiority. Come on out. Condemnation. Come on out of there. Rebellion, rejection, bitterness, inferiority. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Spirits of insanities. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Suicide. Come on out. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name, I command the people of God free. Oh, I break every curse. Command that spirit of divorce and separation to loose the people of God. To loose the people of God. To loose the families of God. Oh, I command husbands and wives and children to be brought together. Oh, we break that curse of Jezebel. We just believe the spirit of Elias to set us free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, heal the families. Lord, heal the families. Oh, there will be a spirit of Elias that will come in the last days, saith God, that will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children's hearts to the fathers, unless I smite this earth with a curse. We break that curse of Ahab and Jezebel off of us, and we command the children to be turned to the fathers and the fathers to the children. I break that curse in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we claim this earth for Jesus. Oh, we break that curse. We break that curse. We break that curse. We break that curse. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. If you need extra help, any of the brothers here, you can find them, and any of us will help you. There are sisters and brothers that will work with you. I believe that we need that every now and then. But something as a pastor that I teach our people is that you have the Word of God, you have the name of Jesus, you have power over that darkness, and God gave you enough of sense to know that if you repent of a sin and renounce it, that clears the right for that devil to be there. Call him by name and command him to leave you. It's not a problem at all. I'm telling you, some people make it a problem. But, you know, just like my wife and I had to finally just say, hey, you know, we have to go to sleep every now and then. We need to see each other. I mean, after all, we might not be married if we don't see each other. So, you know, I encourage you. There is help. Now, I know there are cases where that we need to pray more so. But I would say most of our cases can be handled with the Word of God, the name of Jesus, in a prayer closet somewhere. So I encourage you that. But these campgrounds are to teach us how to do it. Praise God. I encourage you in the Lord. Praise God. Say, I'm not as long-winded as the Colonel Emma. I let you out 20 minutes ahead of time. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, we praise you, we bless you, we magnify you, in Jesus' name. Oh, Son of Mahashana Mahasana Mahasana. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we want the angels to be able to minister, brother. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. We forgive the forefathers. You say that. Say, I forgive all my forefathers for any sin that they've committed to curse me with the spirit of stuttering. I command this spirit to loose me now. As I forgive my forefathers. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there, you spirit. Right now, in Jesus' name, I break that curse of stuttering, that curse of inferiority, that curse of doubt and unconcern and unbelief. I come against you and I command you out in Jesus' name. Come on out of there, you spirit of stuttering. I command you out now. Come on out, fear. Come on out. Rejection.
His tongue will be loose.
He's loosing in Jesus' name. Come on out there, you spirit of rejection.
Let go.
The only reason he stutters is because he feels rejected. He feels let down. He feels lonely. I command loneliness, rejection, and bitterness to come out of him now. Come on out of there, rejection. I command you out now. Right now in Jesus' name. Come on out, rejection. Bitterness and hurt. Come on out. Come on out. Out of him. Out of him. Out of him. Come on out. Every bit of you. Come on out. I said every bit of you. Come out now in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. All you rejection, bitterness, and hurt. Come on out of there. Out of him. I break that inherited curse of stuttering. I break that cult of stuttering. You demon of stutter, come on out of there. Come on out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Every bit of you. Jesus Christ has made him free. Jesus Christ has made him free. Come on out of there, hurt. Rejection, bitterness, and loneliness. You come on out of there too. Let him go. Come on out of there. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask you right now to heal his mind. I command that blockage, that mind control to loosen. In Jesus' name, we forgive the forefathers for smoking. We forgive the forefathers for drinking. And that have cursed his mind, I command his mind free. Come on out of their mind control. Come on out of their nicotine. Come on out of their alcohol. Come on out of their rejection. Come on out of their bitterness in Jesus' name. Come on out of every bit of it. I command his tongue loosed in Jesus' name. I command the spirit to loosen. Come on out of that spirit of stubborn. Come on out of that spirit of death and dog. Come on out of that in Jesus' name. Come on out of that. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Come on out of that. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus is freeing you, and I want you to know that you won't stutter. In Jesus' name. He loves you whether you stutter or not, but you won't stutter. Come on out. Every bit of God heal his speech in Jesus' name. I command that blockage. I see it right there. Come on out. I speak to you right there. In Jesus' name. You let his mind go. In Jesus' name. Come on out. You blockage. Come on out. Mental blockage. Come on out. Come on out. Let him go. Jesus' name. Come on out. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Legions of stutter. Come on out. Right. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Command all spirits of stutter to come out. And as you pray, you must believe God to continually to free you. You'll get more freedom every day. And Father, we ask you for him in Jesus' name. Come on out. In Jesus' name. Command every spirit of stutter to come out.
Yes. Everyone. Everyone.
Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on, let it go in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. Come on, let his mind go. Spirit of stutter, let his mind go. Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out. Jesus' name. Let him go. Come on. You break that curse. Demon, you don't have a right there. We break that curse. What's your right? You don't have a right. You let him go. Come on out. Every bit of it. Jesus is Lord. Come on out, every bit of you. Come on out. Let him go. Come on out, every bit of you. I break that curse of stutter. Come on out, Jesus' name. Oh, I break that curse. I break every curse of bestiality. Come on out of that confusion, bestiality. Come on out. Break every curse of incest. Come on out. Jesus' name. Come on out, Jesus' name. Command his mind healed, his will and emotions healed. Command his mind to go free. Command his mind free. Command his mind free. Command him healed. In Jesus' name. Command the nerves healed. Come on out, fear.
Fear. Fear to speak.
Fear to speak and fear to stir.
All kinds of fear.
Come on out, fears.
Coming from the occult, the
root
of the occult. Come out.
Come on out, come on out. Come on out. Come on out.
All spirits of the occult.
Break every curse. We forgive the forefathers for witchcraft. We command the occult to loosen. Come on out, every bit of him.
You say, I love Jesus. Louder.
I love Jesus.
Louder.
I love Jesus.
I thank Jesus.
I thank Jesus.
That his stripes heals me.
That his stripes heals me.
I don't want to stutter anymore.
I don't want to stutter anymore.
I command that stutter to go.
I command that stutter to go.
All of it.
All of it.
I will not fear.
I will not fear.
That I'm going to stutter.
That I'm going to stutter.
Look at me. Jesus loves
me. I didn't hear no stutter.
No.
Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We love you. God bless you. Father, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for setting him free. Praise God. What's your name?
Isaac.
Isaac? Hallelujah.
Isaac can't do it well.
God bless you, Isaac. God's good, Annie, brother.
All the way from Michigan.
I haven't seen so great a faith. No, we're not in Hot Springs. God bless you. Hallelujah. You come to the right place. Let's pray. Say, Father.
Father,
I confess.
I confess.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is my Savior.
Jesus is my Savior.
I renounce.
I renounce.
And I ask forgiveness.
And I ask forgiveness.
For every drug.
For every drug.
For every alcohol.
For every alcohol.
That I've ever taken into my body.
Taken into my body.
I ask forgiveness.
I ask forgiveness.
My body.
What?
My body.
My body.
Is the temple.
Is the temple.
Of the Holy Ghost.
Of the Holy Ghost.
I ask forgiveness.
I ask forgiveness.
For taking drugs.
For taking drugs.
Alcohol.
Alcohol.
And any other thing.
And any other thing.
I forgive my forefathers.
I forgive my forefathers.
And I break that curse.
And I break that curse.
I command hatred.
I command hatred.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
Anger.
Anger.
And the spirit of unforgiveness.
And the spirit of unforgiveness.
To leave me now.
Leave me now.
I forgive.
I forgive.
All who have hurt me.
All who have hurt me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Do you forgive them?
Yeah.
You do forgive them?
I do.
In Jesus' name. All right. Jesus' name. You come on out there. I break that curse of sorcery off of him. Come on. I command you out. Sorcery. I'm coming against you. Come on out of there. Your spirit of drugs. Come on out. Rejection and bitterness and unforgiveness. Jesus' name. You take a breath and let them out. In Jesus' name. You know, sometimes when you pray and you speak the name of Jesus, see, the name of Jesus is so powerful as you're praying. The only way the demons can get out. See, demon is the same word is could be translated as a breath or a spirit. And the only way they can come out is through your mouth, a spirit. So you know, lots of times people want deliverance and they wonder, why come I can't get it? And they're saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The name is so powerful. The goodness of people around you is that we can pray and you just have your mind on the Lord. When you're by yourself, you just put your mind on the Lord. In Jesus' name. So you just keep your mind on the Lord and we're going to do the praying and you let them go, brother.
One other thing, too. I have in the past been involved in witchcraft as far as the Ouija board and stuff. And I've had people in witchcraft after me and possibly still could be.
You destroyed a Ouija board that you had, or have you still got one?
Yeah, I ended up destroying it eventually, but that's I was into that real heavy. I was into rock and roll real heavy. And I was into the drugs and alcohol and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. People's afraid of Ouija boards, but you know, you can burn rock albums, and the same spirit happens is when you burn rock albums as Ouija boards. This is a type of sorcery.
Yeah, and also I got a spirit of hopelessness and apathy, too, and just unbelief and all kinds of other stuff.
In Jesus' name. I forgive.
I forgive.
All who have hurt me.
All who have hurt me.
And I ask you to forgive me now, Lord.
I ask you to forgive me now, Lord.
For using the Ouija board.
For using the Ouija board.
And for having all types of these spirits to come into my body.
For having all types of these spirits to come into my body.
I renounce them.
I renounce them.
I command them to leave me now.
I command them to leave me now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. All right, I want the whole church to pray for him. He's just going to be set free in Jesus' name. You just keep your mind on the Lord. In Jesus' name. Come on out. I break every curse. Come on out of witchcraft. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out, all spiritual witchcraft, sorcery, Jesus' name. Come on out, in Jesus' name. Come on out there, all sorcery. Come on out there, witchcraft. Let him go. Come on out, sorcery, witchcraft. Come on out, Ouija board, spiritual Ouija board, alcohol, drugs. Come on out there, perversions, anger, temper, lust, pride, ego, vanity. Come on out, in Jesus' name. Every bit of it, in Jesus' name. Oh, speed up my whole sundown. In Jesus' name. Come on out, command him free. Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Come on out of there, all you sorceries. Come on out. Come on out. I command you out in Jesus' name. You leave me to sorcery. Drugs, alcohol, spirits of backsliding. Come on out. Inferiority. Come on out. Come on out of anger, temper. Come on out. Rebellion. Come on out in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on out. Spirits of revenge. Come on out. All spirits of revenge. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Revenge and anger. Come on out. Come on out. He's forgiven them in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out. Revenge. Revenge, come out of there.
Fear and intimidation,
come on out. All fear and intimidation. Come on out in Jesus' name. Fear, intimidation, come on out. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out, every bit of them. Come on out. As you call them out, we'll just take authority. Just call them out as they come to your mind. In Jesus' name.
Fear and rejection.
Come on out. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on out, every bit of them. Come on out. Come on out, hatred. Come on out. Come on out. Jesus' name. Every one of you, come on out. Jesus' name. Come on out. Unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness. Come on out. Every one of you. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on out. Every one of you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Every one of you. Bitterness, anger, fear. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Jesus' name. Come on out. Jesus' name. I command you free. Commanding free. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.